So, welcome everybody. So again, Warren Wiersbe, if you don't know him, defined faith. We talked about faith and faithfulness. Faith simply means obeying God's will in spite of feelings, in spite of circumstances, and in spite of consequences. Faithfulness stands for steadfast in affection or allegiance. It's being loyal. It's being loyal to someone. It's being firm in adherence to a promise. You kept your promise. It's firm in observance of a duty. You're called, you're assigned to a duty, and you do it. You fulfill that purpose. Of course, church members in good standing are called the faithful. They also are called the faithful in the Muslim realm. They're called the faithful. We studied Hosea, where the Lord sent a message and an image to Israel on how unfaithful they were to him. Hosea is one of the ones we just finished. And it was in an unusual way, but Hosea was a prophet, just a farmer guy, nothing special. He was a prophet. God told him to go marry a young gal. He did. Her name was Gomer. Wasn't Gomer Pyle, it was just Gomer. Her name was Gomer, so you already ought to remember that. Hosea and Gomer. And he was already told she's going to be unfaithful. So God told me to go marry a young lady that was going to be unfaithful. Now there's discussion amongst, I'll call it scholars, whether she was a prostitute before marriage or after marriage, but the idea is she was unfaithful. Well, Hosea found her. Hosea married her. I believe Hosea loved her. Loved her as his wife. And they began to have a family. And a family that God named, which is unusual. Usually parents name their kids. And names were awfully important in the Bible. They signified different things. And the family took lengths to pick out the right names. Well, God picked their kids' names. He named the first son Jezreel, which means God scatters. That's a hint at the coming judgment of the Syrian forces that were going to come in and take all of Israel. And he named a second child, a daughter, Lo Ruhamah, which means no mercy or not loved. Another son was born and was named Lo Ami, which means not my people. And as a mom or dad, those wouldn't be the names you would pick out. Scattered, not loved, not my people. God ordained this marriage even though he knew Hosea was going to have a broken heart. A marriage of love that changed because of unfaithfulness. And he wanted to show Israel that's who they were to him. Because Gomer went back to her previous ways and she left Hosea. And adultery, we tend to have one thing in our mind, but adultery is whether physical or it's immoral, or it's spiritual adultery. It's all unfaithfulness. And the covenant of marriage is so important to God because it's a reflection of Christ in the church. Him being the husband, the bride being the church. And that love and faithfulness to one another, that covenant of marriage. To the vows, to the promises made to one another, to be there at all times, to share with one another, to love each other. The unfaithfulness happens when promises are broken. Now, praise God, he's got a whole lot more compassion and love and mercy than humans do. God never gives up. He told Hosea to go show your love to your wife. Again. Though she is still with another man and an adulteress. Just go back and get her. Take her back. Restore her. He says, love her as the Lord loves Israel, even though they turn to other gods. Now, though there were consequences, there will be restoration. You know, Israel will be brought back as well. The children's names. And that restoration will be changed. They changed them back to the right way. He restored them to what they were supposed to be. What he wanted them to be. They restored. They became not loved to loved. They became not my people to my people. And he said they will be gathered back. Now at this point in time, they would be gathered back in from the Assyrian exile. But also they'll be gathered in the end times at the millennium. They'll be God's people. They'll be believers in God. They will come to Christ. And they will be with him in the millennium. Now Hosea chose to be faithful to God. You know, even though things probably didn't make any sense to him. You know, it's a great, I get it. He told me to go marry this gal. That's great. And he loved her and he did, but says she's going to be unfaithful. He knew it wasn't going to be the kind of a pleasant experience in his life that he wanted to have. But he did it anyways. Because he wanted to be faithful to God. Because God is faithful to us. Sometimes being used by God isn't pleasant. But it pleases God. And at some point, that's going to be a blessing for you. Just keep the faith. And you might say, well, how did they get to this point? You know, what happened that God said they were such unfaithful people? You know, what were the issues? What was their relationship with God? And that's the problem, their relationship with God. I want to read Hosea 4, 1 through 9. Pick a few things out there. Hosea 4, 1 through 9. It says, hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. And here's the things, the main things. There is no faithfulness. No love. No acknowledgement of God in the land. There's only cursing, lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds. And bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, land dries up, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the fields, the birds of the sky, and the fish in the sea are swept away. But let no one bring a charge, and let no one accuse another, for your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. The more priests there were, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glorious God for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness. And it will be like people, like priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. You know, I read that, it sounds a lot like America. It sounds a lot like the United States. There is no faithfulness. Faithfulness lacking in marriages. In family. Faithfulness lacking in government. And certainly to God. There is no love. You look around, the violence, the me first attitudes, the killings, the abortions, the love that turns to hate in an instant when it's not approved, supported, or promoted as a true godly love. An extreme love of self. No acknowledgement of God in the land. Pretty plain to see God ignored most of the time. And we've got the sports stars and the Olympic winners praising God, along with the occasional famous person in Hollywood or singer, songwriter. But by and large, there's no acknowledgement of God, who He is and who we are to Him. And that includes, unfortunately, schools and a lot of churches. It's starting to change. I believe God said in the last times, in the last days, that would change. There would be revivals. There would be a coming again to God. And I think we're starting to see that. We're starting to see school sports teams, college sports teams. All one, they passed out thousands of Bibles the other day. There's another school down south that had a revival that was going on for 3 or 4 days. Things are happening. There are young people coming. Things are starting to change. But I told them, you know, it's our fault. There's no one else to blame. You know, our choices are made us who we are, and it's everyone. We see it not just in the general public, but we see it in churches, and we see it in pastors. As he said, the more priests there were, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged the glories of God for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of people and relish in their wickedness. We have such a lack of teaching the true word of God. A lack of teaching the relationship that's needed for Jesus for salvation. They teach a lot of things, but it's not the important things. It says there's no faithfulness, there's no love, there's no acknowledgement of God. I'm going to read Hosea 10, verses 1 and 2. Get down to an invitation time. Hosea 10, 1 and 2 said, Israel was a spreading vine. He brought forth fruit for himself. As his fruit increased, he built more altars. As his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. Their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. And again, I... See, the United States, you know, the United States was blessed. They were very blessed. They were faithful to God. They were a Bible-believing country. I think we took advantage of God's goodness to us. The more we receive from God, the more we turned it into things for ourselves and away from God. Pride set in, and unfaithfulness became a little bit more normal. There will be a time of consequences, but God is in the business of restoration. That's what He does. God's love and mercy is for those who receive grace through faith, and He will never turn away those that belong to Him. God is faithful. Hosea never turned away Gomer. He said, go back and get your wife. He didn't terminate it. Always wanted her to return. Always wanted her back. And that's what God does, brings people back. Now, faithfulness as far as allegiance to the government or your country or the USA is always in accordance with God's word. We've talked about that before. Maybe a lot of things are testing your faithfulness in our country right now. You may be a little confused about what to think about all that's going on in the world and all that's going on in the United States. A lot of things just this week. We see a State of the Union address which shows a lot of things, I think. Perhaps things you agree with and perhaps things you don't. Both sides are far from perfect. But are we supposed to have faith in the elected officials that we elect to represent us in the way we desire them to? Officials who swore to do the job they were elected to and to be faithful to those who elected them. Agree or not, shouldn't individuals on each side be brave enough to have common decency, to acknowledge good things in our country and good in the brave people of our country? I saw unfaithful people. I saw people that wouldn't make a stand. Now we have the U.S. and Israel with bombings in Iran. Are we faithful to our country and those we elected into office? And it doesn't matter why. You know, there's so many reasons, whether to protect Israel or to take out nuclear arms from Iran or help those in Iran trying to overthrow the current regime or further hinder energy sources to China. It could be a tough time to sort things out in our mind, in our heart. And you can get whatever you want, answer you want on TV. You can turn to this channel and hear this, and you can turn to that channel and hear that. So you get both sides. But you gotta determine which is true, which is right, where do we put our faithfulness? There's a lot of things going on. You say, you know, well, we shouldn't be doing this. These things shouldn't happen. Of course, you always have the person doesn't have the right to do that. Yes, they have the right to do that. It's, you know, it's all over the board. Keep in mind, God is in all of this. It's awful. They bombed Iran. You hear Iranians cheering all over the world. You hear Christian songs being sung. I didn't understand them, but I knew the choruses they were singing. They're looking for a freedom. It doesn't just come happenstance that Purim is coming up tomorrow. Purim and Esther. You know, there was a group wanting to wipe out the Israelites and the Jewish people back then. And Haman wanted to wipe them out, talked them into doing it. But you know the story of Esther. And she had it turned around on them. It became the opposite. The Jewish people were able to fight against those trying to wipe them out. God uses stuff in the Bible to show us the future, to show us things are going to happen. There's a lot of people referencing other parts of the Bible. One of them is Jeremiah 49. I wasn't going to read it, but I'll just read it real quick. We don't have it up. It's not very long. And it's the very last section of Jeremiah 49. So very last, 34 through 39 says, "This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam, early in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. See, I will break the bow of Elam, the mainstay of their might. I will bring up against Elam the four winds and the four quarters of heaven. I will scatter them to the four winds, and there will not be a nation where Elam's exiles do not go. I will shatter Elam before their foes, before those who want to kill them. I will bring disaster on them, even my fierce anger, declares the Lord. I will pursue them with the sword until I have made an end of them. I will set my throne in Elam and destroy her king and officials, declares the Lord. Yet I will restore the fortunes of Elam in the days to come, declares the Lord. Elam is Iran. They have one of the biggest populations with a revival trying to come through. They have young people coming to Christ. I think God is allowing that to happen. God is paving a way for a revival in that country. Whether you want to think that's a prophecy about what's happening right now or not, it's what's happening. He's bringing people closer to himself. He's bringing the faithful in Iran. We need unity in our faithfulness to God and his promises. Remember, faith is simply obeying God despite feelings. Feelings come out. Feelings are messy. Despite feelings. Despite our circumstances. And we see faith come out in a lot of countries despite the consequences. You have to remember also, God is still on the throne. He's in control of all things. Never lose faith in God's sovereignty. His hands on everything. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Starts with us as individuals. He's faithful to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, but it's based on his faithfulness, not ours. Because ours would fail. We fail. When he made covenants before Moses and all of them before. But they were covenants based on them performing well, them being obedient, them being faithful. All of those failed. As we go to communion, we have communion today. You're all invited, by the way. Don't have to be a member here, just be a believer in Jesus Christ. And we invite you to participate with us. You don't feel you're ready, don't feel worthy, don't feel faithful, there's things in your life that might keep you from it, then pass it by. It's okay. God wants you to take it in a worthy manner. But he said this was new covenant. Now this, the old ones were based on our faithfulness. This new one is based on his faithfulness. And he's always faithful. He's always faithful. So as we go to a time of invitation, but also a time of communion, you know, where is your faith today? Is it in people? Or is it in God? Do you hold on to your faith despite feelings, regardless of circumstances and despite the consequences? Do you have faith that God is sovereign and still in control? Or is your faith being tested? And will you pass? Will you pass the test? Let's pray.